Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Week 16 ranks. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and today it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the ranks discussion. That's right. We're going to battle through with our own Matthew Friedman stepping in for Fitz on the fly. What does Friedman think of Fitz's rankings? Because everything just happened so fast. We didn't have time to do anything else except grab Matthew Friedman off of whatever. I would say maybe he was on a jog. No, that doesn't sound right. No. That doesn't sound like Friedman. What he was out buying maybe last minute holiday presents. No, that's probably not Friedman. No. I don't know what he was doing, which is why he's probably available right now. And of course, one of the best rankers on the planet, our good friend Chris Raybon from the Action Network and Fantasy Labs, is back to join us to give us his opinion on week 16 and the ranks. Let us start here with the running backs. And again, these are the names here that Fitz was higher on than Chris. Now, Fitz obviously having some internet issues today. So, like I said, this is going to be a fun time because maybe Friedman agrees with some of these names and these ranks. Maybe he doesn't. We'll see what Chris Raybon says about them as well. Let's kick things off, gentlemen, with Jerick McKinnon.
Running back rankings.
He looks like the RB du jour for the Kansas City Chiefs. They've got a good opportunity this week to put up some points. Right now, Pat's rank was RB15 of Jerick McKinnon. Raybon, you had him at 19. ECR, kind of in between you guys at 18. So, Matt, I know this is not your ranks, so you have to give us your take on Jerick McKinnon anyway. So let us know, what do you think about where Pat has him ranked this week, and are you closer to Pat or closer to Chris?
So I actually like McKinnon quite a bit this week, and I'm imagining I'm going to bump him up in the rankings from where I have him. Like, I think he's got, I mean, obviously based on what he did last week, he's got RB1 upside, more conservatively, simple RB2, but he's been the number one running back overall for each of the past 2 weeks. Like, that is unreal. And in the four games without former starter Clyde Edwards-Helaire, McKinnon has 342 yards, 5 touchdowns on 24 carries and 25 targets, plus a 2-point conversion. The Seahawks are numbers 28 and 29 in defensive rush DVOA and pass DVOA against running backs. This is a weather slate where every other team is going to have horrible conditions, but the Chiefs have better conditions just by virtue of not being in like the Midwest. So they have a week high 29 point implied total. So a lot of points could be scored this week. And Jerick McKinnon, he's trusted in the passing game and the rushing game. So, I mean, I don't totally agree with Fitz's ranking here, but like by the end of this week, I'm probably going to be closer to Fitz than ECR.
Now, Raybon, sometimes we don't want to necessarily be prisoners of the moment or look too hard on what happened last week. But look, it's 2 weeks in a row now, 29 half PPR points, 30 half PPR points, nearly 60 points in 2 weeks. I mean, I don't care. This is a trend you have to pay attention to. So what is your expectation this week for McKinnon? Obviously, it would be really tough to be RB1 overall 3 weeks in a row. But is he just an RB1 period for you the rest of the playoffs?
Now, he's still an RB2 for me because, the way I'm projecting these guys and ranking them is
I'm using their usage and their snaps, and McKinnon's getting about 35% of the designed runs over the last three games. So that's what I'm kind of using here. Pacheco's still around 55%. And then McKinnon's running a route on about 55 to 65% of the dropbacks. So, you know, he's getting kind of not true RB1 usage. He's still getting that more kind of platoon usage. And because of that, there is a little bit of a lower floor. And I think anyone who's followed Andy Reid offense, I mean, remember Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, he would have some big games and then go missing. So that's the only reason I'm a little bit lower. It's just, I'm not projecting him for like, you know, 75, 80% of snaps, because that's not what he's getting. Pacheco's still actually seeing more snaps, even though he's not scoring more fantasy points.
Yeah, certainly putting the ball on the ground, not the best thing for Pacheco's snap count either. But hey, Andy Reid's going back and showing guys confidence before. Let's take a quick break in the action and tell you about Thrive Fantasy. Come prop up on Thrive Fantasy this holiday season, because Thrive is the daily fantasy sports app for player props. With Thrive, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. To play, you first build your lineup of player props, and each prop is assigned a fantasy value of either the over or the under based on how likely it is to hit. And if you hit the most props and rack up the most points, you win a share of the prize pool. This week, Thrive has an insane value for new users with free square props on Trevor Lawrence for Thursday Night Football, Najee Harris for Christmas Eve, and Nikola Jokic for Xmas Day. All users should be on the lookout for Christmas Eve play bonus. That's Xmas Eve play bonus that will rival the biggest in Thrive Fantasy history. Use the promo code FPROS when you sign up today. That's FPROS, and you'll receive a 100% instant first deposit match up to $250. Download the Thrive app now on the App Store or Play Store, or visit their website at thrivefantasy.com. That's thrivefantasy.com. Promo code FPROS. Sign up today and prop up with Thrive Fantasy. And now, back to the action. All right, let's get to the next guy who is higher on Fitz's ranking than Chris Raybon. And I just realized something, Matt. You're a big Game of Thrones fan. You're basically Fitz's champion. You're his Oberyn Martell. So let's hope that this goes better for you than it did for him, as you are trying to be his champion and defend, or maybe not, some of his picks this week. Let's go with the next one here. Miles Sanders of the Philadelphia Eagles. Pat has him ranked at RB23. And you've got him, Raybon, at a different spot here. You've got him at 14. ECR is at 14 also. Let's discuss this, because obviously a very difference of opinion. And certainly, depending on whether or not Jalen Hurts plays, obviously he didn't practice again today. He's not playing. Very little chance.
He's doubtful now, so doubtful pretty much means. Look,
there's a better chance of one of us playing quarterback for the Eagles this week than Jalen Hurts. So, Freeman, with that in mind, how do you think the Jalen Hurts absence impacts Miles Sanders, both in his carry volume and also his touchdown equity in this game against the Cowboys?
Yeah, I'm with Raybon in that I have him around, I think, RB14, RB15. So I'm near Raybon, near consensus on this. I can only sort of conjecture that what's happening with Fitz is that he's imagining that we just see less overall explosiveness in this this offense. I think actually what we might see is something, I don't want to say like close to what we see with Jalen Hurts, but you know, Gardner Minshew, I think, is a highly competent backup quarterback. I think they will lean a little bit more into the passing game to exploit some of the cornerback issues that the Cowboys have. And so I think that offense will kind of stay on pace. But the big thing is that you're not going to have Jalen Hurts there running touchdowns in from the 1 yard line. You know, like that was the big issue last week and, you know, in other games where, as great as Miles Sanders has been as a running back, he just hasn't had the ability to score touchdowns. Now he's going to have that option there. And so that is the big difference for me, the goal line options that he will have without Jalen Hurts. That is what is pushing him on that RB1, RB2 borderline.
Chris, here's a question for you too, because if you have Miles Sanders and you were able to survive last week's performance somehow, the confidence level's got to be shaken. Is it okay, in your opinion, to just pivot right back to Miles Sanders for a second week? Because I know last week, very scary in terms of productivity, not exactly what we were looking for in terms of points. So when you finish as RB67, I think everyone's a little upset at you. Yeah, I know he doesn't care, but we sure do. So, Chris, what do you make of Miles Sanders and the impact of the change at quarterback?
Yeah, I think Friedman said it well. So there's a bunch of things that are kind of offsetting for me, right? The touchdown equity does go down because I think the Eagles, you have to project them for somewhere around three less points without Jalen Hurts. That's just the bottom line. But as Friedman said, he's no longer competing with a guy that like my Jalen Hurts touchdown projection was essentially just as high as my Miles Sanders was each game. So, you know, without him there, it kind of just cancels it out. And, you know, there is the possibility that they go a little bit pass heavier with a more traditional quarterback behind center. There's also the possibility that they go run heavy like they were for half of the season last year when, you know, they kind of found their identity doing that. So there's just a lot of things that were anytime you say, okay, well, here's a red flag about Miles Sanders, then you also say, well, okay, here's why he has even more upside than he would have if Hurts was playing. So it kind of cancels out. Dallas hasn't been a terrible run defense, but they haven't been great either. So overall, I think, you know, you don't want to expose Gardner Minshew to just endless pressure. So I do think they're going to hand the ball off to Miles Sanders quite a bit to keep that defense honest. So overall, yeah, he's just kind of back where he normally is for me.
I kind of wonder if they're going to use some of the other running backs as well, too.
Oh, they will.
Potentially.
They will.
That's what I'm thinking, too. And that's going to frustrate people. Like Kenneth Gainwell or Boston Scott all of a sudden end up in the end zone. That's going to frustrate a ton of people. Speaking of frustrating, number three on Fitz's list, who is higher than where Chris has him, Jamal Williams of the Detroit Lions. Now, the last 4 weeks here, there was two games that he scored a touchdown. In both of those, he had 11 points and 10 points. And then two games where he didn't score a touchdown, where he's got four or three. This week, he gets the Carolina Panthers. Certainly some touchdown equity exists there. Friedman, in your opinion here, when you look at Jamal Williams, again, Pat's got him at 27, Chris at 35, ECR is at 27, right where Pat is. Are you in that same range when it comes to Jamal Williams, where he is kind of a fringy RB2 flex play, or are you concerned with this trend the last 2 weeks of Williams not being able to find the end zone?
I'm splitting the difference a little bit. I have him around RB30, and I would say that the issues that we see, like he's touchdown or bust, where he's not getting any receiving workload. Like he's had one target since like week 9. It's like he's absolutely nothing as a receiver. He's not like the pure, you know, like between the 20s runner, and that like you can count on him getting a ton of carries. Like he's going to get anywhere from like 10 to 15 carries in each game. You know, so you're basically just counting on a touchdown. And given that this total isn't as low as some of the other like massively weather impacted totals out there, maybe he has a better chance of scoring a touchdown than a lot of other running backs. Like I think he is still the league leader in carries inside the 5 yard line. So like he's got touchdown potential, but that's all mm-hmm. that he has. And so you're basically flipping a coin, hoping that he gets in the end zone.
Well, in standard league, certainly we can understand that. Half PPR, sure. But we get to the half and into the full PPR, Chris. That's the rankings we're working with here is the half. So do you think that Jamal Williams is somebody that you feel good about starting this week with basically that touchdown dependency being the key to his productivity?
Nah, that's why, you know, I have him ranked RB35. He's more of a low end, you know, if you need a low end flex RB3 type. But there's a lot of guys I'd rather start because, you know, he was getting close to 60% of the designed runs. But then when DeAndre Swift started getting healthier, that bumped down. And the last three games, I'm looking at it, 38% of the designed runs 3 weeks ago, 57, and then 46. So, you know, he's averaging about, you know, just under 50% of the designed runs. And as Friedman mentioned, he barely runs any routes. He's running a route on about 18% of the dropback. So that's about 5 to 6 pass routes per game. So most games, he's not even going to get a target because his target rate is, you know, 10-15%. So without a reception, like even one reception, he has 0.7 receptions. It's all carries and touchdowns. So I have him 13 carries, 52 yards, and a half a touchdown rushing. But that's really not enough in half PBR with almost nothing receiving, you know, like about 0.7 catches for 5 yards. I have him at. That's just not enough to get him into that top 30 for me.
All right, let's flip the script here. Look at the guys that Chris likes more than Pat this week, and then Matt will possibly have to defend some of the stances that Mr. Fitzmaurice has taken. Before we do, just a reminder, don't forget about that cheat sheets tool. It's free. You can use it at myplaybook.fantasypros.com/myplaybook or download the app. It's there for you. You can get any combination of analysts that you want there. Their ranks for the week. Look at it, what it means to your lineup. Again, that's fantasypros.com/myplaybook. And it's free. I love free stuff, especially this time of year. Nothing seems free. All right, let's take a look and flip it around here and take a look at Ken Walker. Last week, disappointment, tough matchup. We all know that. Ken Walker is 18 in your rankings, Chris. The ECR's got him at 17. Fitz a little bit lower, maybe still a little worried about the health. But let's talk about it here. Kenneth Walker seems like a guy that, you know, you got to take a shot on him again this week. So where are you at in terms of the temperature with Walker in this matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs, Raybon?
So I will bump him up a little more if we get, you know, news that he's going to be good. He has kind of sitting out of practice, and I like to be a little more conservative, but I would probably bump him up to, you know, 14, 15 in that Miles Sanders range. Because I think the real key thing here, Tyler Lockett had 8 touchdowns this year. Tyler Lockett averaged about 65 yards per game. So they're missing a significant piece of their offense. And so it just stands to reason that, you know, Kenneth Walker is going to have to be a bigger part if he's healthy, because he's the other guy that's, you know, supremely talented, you know, outside of Metcalf there. And, you know, this Chiefs defense is not great against the run. They're outside the top 20 in DVOA. So it's a good matchup. And every game but the one he got hurt, he's been getting 77% or more of the design runs. So the usage is there. Everything's there. We're just kind of looking for the go ahead on his health. But if he's good to go, I think he's a high upside guy. I think you got to roll with him because he's barely coming off the field if he's healthy.
All right. Fitz is a little bit more in the fade spot here when it comes to Walker. Friedman, where are you? And you think Fitz should be a little closer to Raybon?
Yeah, I disagree with Fitz. I'm right there with Raybon. Walker has played, like, last week, 75% of the snaps. You know, I know he didn't, in terms of fantasy production, get where we wanted him to be, but 75% of the snaps, 12 carries, 5 targets. Like, the target usage is actually pretty encouraging, especially in light of Tyler Lockett not being here. So he played 75% of the snaps and had 17 opportunities in that game, a game where they were losing against San Francisco. So, you know, obviously they're probably going to lose this game against the Chiefs, but I think that doesn't mean we won't see Kenneth Walker used pretty extensively. I think we will. So I'm right in line with Raybon here.
All right, next guy on the list here is Zach Moss. And we were joking around before the show, Chris. Wait till Jordan Wilkins ruins all your Zach Moss shares, everybody. Get ready. It's happening. It's 2022. If you don't think that's on the table, then you're crazy. You haven't been paying attention. But regardless, you've got him at RB31. ECR is at 37, so a little lower. Pat's a little closer to ECR at 36. He was one of these guys that we've all talked about picking up. We talked about him on the Waiver Wire show earlier on Monday. So, Chris, your expectations this week for Zach Moss against the Chargers. And I think that is what's so tantalizing potentially is the Chargers give up a lot on the ground and he is the lone man standing. And now you get a new quarterback there too. Nick Foles. How about that wrinkle? Let's go.
Yeah. So here's the thing. And you know, Friedman was talking about snaps, and that's when I'm ranking these guys, that's what it's all coming from. It's coming from projecting the snaps for every player in every game. Right. And so when something happens like this, where Jonathan Taylor is out of the picture and we only have one set of data to go from, and it was Zach Moss playing, getting 60% of the design runs compared to 33 for Deion Jackson. And not only that, Zach Moss actually ran more routes than Deion Jackson, which was very surprising to me. You know, that usage has to go somewhere. You know, it's not just going to disappear. And so, you know, you have to kind of project Moss ahead of Jackson at this point, because Jackson was the backup, but that was under the last coaching regime. So, you know, I'm kind of projecting Jackson to still get a little more of the passing down work, because I just think that's the kind of back he is. And I am projecting Wilkins to see a handful of touches, because, you know, I think there's some uncertainty there. But even with all of that, because of the matchup and because I'm projecting him to play, you know, 50% of the snaps conservatively, which could obviously be more, I have him for about 14 touches, about a little over about 65 yards, and about 0.4 touchdowns. So, you know, that gets up to RB31, and he has upside for more. Like, he carried the ball 24 times last week and looked like the clear guy that they wanted to showcase. And they also traded for him. So it could be something, you know, coming from upstairs. You know, we want to play this guy. You know, we want to see how he looks down the stretch. Whatever the reason, he was the guy last week. And now he's got a good matchup, and the Colts got to run the football. I mean, what are you dusting off Nick Foles? I don't know what else.
Well, I hear a lot of coulds and ifs, and I know desperate times call for desperate measures, but Friedman, this is the fantasy playoffs here. Are we going to trust Zach Moss with our fantasy hopes and dreams for trophies?
I mean, if you're desperate, then yeah. Like, I agree with everything that Raybon said. And I, you know, when I update my rankings, I need to move Moss up. And I imagine I will probably be closer to Raybon than to Fitz by the time this game kicks off. That said, like, I can understand all of the trepidation when it comes to Zach Moss. Like, he had 24 carries last week, which is an unreal number, 67% snap rate. But I'm skeptical he's going to see that kind of usage again, in part because a lot of that came with the Colts leading for the super majority of that game. I think going against the Chargers, they could have more of a negative game state. I do think that Deion Jackson is probably the better receiver. That doesn't mean that he ends up, you know, playing to the total detriment of Zach Moss, but I think he might end up getting more routes next week or this upcoming week relative to Moss. But you know, I do see the case for Moss. He did last week beat out Deion Jackson for the workload, and it's a pretty decent matchup going against a Chargers defense that just gives it up to running backs. The Chargers are number 4 in most fantasy points allowed to opposing backfield. So it overall seems like a pretty decent situation. And as Raybon said, with Nick Foles coming in, they might lean even more on the running game. So I see the optimistic case for Zach Moss, but man, like I would use him only if I had no other real options in the fantasy playoffs.
Here you go. In case of emergency, break open glass and hope that Zach Moss is in there for you. Let's get to the last guy on the list here, and that is Deonta Foreman, who last couple weeks has not put it together. Tougher matchup than you realize, too, against the Lions, who have really all of a sudden pieced together a much better run defense than they had for an opening of the season till now. Raybon, you've got him at 32, so still kind of on that flexy fringe. ECR's at 35. Fitz is at 42. He is done. He has had it with Deonta Foreman. You still have a little bit of hope for him, maybe not too much. Let's talk about Foreman. Where are you at with him this week, Raybon?
Yeah, he's in that same boat as Zach Moss, to be honest. It's like, you know, we think he's going to be the guy that's going to get the most carries. He probably won't see a ton of passing game work, but he, you know, he is at home. There, it could be an advantageous situation. It might not be. So there's a lot of uncertainty, and I think, you know, he's on that fringe with these other guys. But remember, we've seen the upside with him too, where he's gotten the 24 carries, he's gotten the 100 yards, he's gotten the multiple touchdowns in a game. So you can't discount that either just because, you know, he has a bad game against a pretty good run defense in Pittsburgh and goes 9 for 10, which is why, you know, when I'm ranking these guys, it's like, I don't really mind, like, okay, this guy sucked the week before, this and that, because you could say that about half the league. I mean, why be scared, why be scared about throwing in Zach Moss or Deonta Foreman when, like, the week before, people had Deonta Foreman ranked like RB20, and he
right, or Miles Sanders puts up 1 point,
exactly.
Right?
So it's like all of these guys, and anyone could get injured too. So you could have the best roster, and somebody could just, you know, turn an ankle on the first play of the game, Jonathan Taylor, and you're toast anyway. So, like, I don't think you got to be scared and, like, overreact to last week. Now, I will say this. With running backs in particular, you are weighting the more recent usage a lot more heavily than other positions. Like, a wide receiver or a tight end, you know, their route participation or snap rate might go down one game just based on, you know, weirdness. You might have gotten banged up and came out of the game for a few snaps. But running backs, you know, that's kind of dictated a lot more by the coaching staff. So you are paying attention to the usage, but, you know, I mean, we've seen Saquon Barkley go for like, what, 20 carries for 30 yards against a bad run against the Lions too. So, you know, it's just how it is with these guys. But yeah, that's where I'm at with Foreman. He's in that same Moss territory. I don't want to use him, but if I need him, I'm using him.
Friedman, they're back-to-back in ECR. So who would you rather start this week?
Easily Moss. And I don't disagree with anything that Raybon said there, especially in terms of the usage and, you know, like the potential upside. We have seen it before with Deonta Foreman. And, you know, I mean, it was a long time ago, but exiting college, he was like a supremely talented athlete, and the Achilles injury he suffered a few years ago, like, sapped him of his athleticism in the short term. And the longer term, it seems like he's gotten a chunk of it back. So all of that is good, but I am expecting negative game script here for the Panthers. And so it feels a little bit more like it. Not like a quote unquote Chuba Hubbard game, because I don't think like Hubbard is going to go off, but I think he will see enough usage, especially in the receiving game, where we're not going to see Foreman totally unlocked. Now, if the Panthers at home, even though they're underdogs, if they are able to get out to a lead, I do think that shifts the balance over to Foreman, but I'm not projecting that.
All right, it's that time of the show where we do a little rankings throwdown, and I throw out a guy that I'm higher on at RB than the consensus, and usually Fitz tells me why I'm wrong, but I'm sure Matthew Friedman will be happy to do so today. So my guy is Tyler Algier. I've got him ranked at 31, ECR's at 36. That's five spots difference. Now, weather's going to be involved in this game against the Baltimore Ravens for Atlanta. 17 for 139. You also had a touchdown that game. Look, volume is king. Weather's going to be an issue. I understand the Ravens are a better defense than the New Orleans Saints, but I think Algier deserves a little bit more cred. Friedman, am I right or am I wrong?
I mean, I don't think you're massively wrong. I'm lower on him. I'm lower on him than you are. Like, I can see the case for it. As you mentioned, like usage, especially with Ridder now a quarterback, they're going to be running the ball as much as they can. But ever since the Roquan Smith trade, the Ravens have been particularly stout in run defense. And you know, I think if all you can do is run the ball and you're trying to do that against one of the best run defenses in the league, eventually that catches up with you.
Yeah, it looks like Lamar probably also trending in the wrong direction for that game as well. So that could be a very ugly total as we get closer. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about AirMed Care Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, AirMed Care Network provides its members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind for you and your family. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to $50 in a Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS. No matter where you are in the game of life, an AirMedCare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now, back to the action. Let's jump in, fellas, with 2 feet, and let's talk about these wide receivers because we've got two more wins to get to championships.
Wide receiver rankings.
Let's talk about Terry McLaurin. Pat has him ranked at wide receiver 15 going against the San Francisco 49ers this week. Now, the 49ers defense, very good against the run. We all know that. We'll see if you can throw the ball on them or Taylor Heinicke has success. Raybon, you've got him at 26. ECR is actually at 16, closer to Pat. Friedman, since this is your chance to defend here or disagree with Pat, why don't you start us off here? What do you think about McLaurin? Let's make the case for or against him.
Okay, so in my initial rankings, which are done pretty quickly, so I'm just obviously like, I'm just trying to hedge myself here. I have him at number 19, but I know I'm going to end up bumping him down closer to Raybon because I want no piece of this 49ers defense. And if you are going to attack them in the secondary, you know, they have been weakest against kind of like quote unquote supplementary wide receivers. So like if I were kind of digging deep, Jahan Dotson, if I had to start any of these Commanders wide receivers, Dotson would actually be the guy further down that I would be like a little more okay starting as like a flex or something like that. But I do not look at McLaurin and think of him as being on that wide receiver one, wide receiver two borderline this week, given the matchup that he has. And then especially like given how much Dotson has come on in the past couple of games.
Yeah, Dotson certainly early in the year too, when he was healthy, looking like a touchdown machine, but it is tough. I'm with you, Friedman. I'm kind of out against this 49ers D overall. Raybon, you are fading McLaurin as well, it feels like, this week. So you're also out on the Washington Commanders in this game, just as much as you can, especially the running backs too. But McLaurin specifically, do you feel like he's a guy you could start this week?
I mean, I have him wide receiver 26. If you play in a three wide receiver league, yeah, you're starting Terry McLaurin. But the reason I'm lower than consensus is the matchup is tough. Washington has gotten a lot more run heavy since Heinicke took over. And so you have those two things where they may start out the game still trying to run the ball. But, you know, the passing projections and the touchdown equity just goes way down for the Commanders in this game. The total is 38, I believe, and the spread is 7. So just to give, you know, you don't have to use those numbers, but just to give you an idea, that projects Washington at around 15 and a half points. So there's just not a lot of touchdowns to go around. Now, I will say this, to hit on Friedman's point about Jahan Dotson, because I know a lot of people are going to be, you know, thinking about him too. I'm actually lower on Dotson than I am on McLaurin, because
okay.
So here's the thing. San Francisco is one of the zone heaviest defenses in the league, and they don't have to send extra pressure. They can just drop back with their defensive right. line, you know, get to it, right? So Terry McLaurin is actually Washington's best receiver against zone coverage. He averages over 2 yards per route. Jahan Dotson is their man beater. So last week, I actually called out a Jahan Dotson anytime touchdown. It was probably like my Babe Ruth call of props. And, you know, like he hit it. And like, no, seriously, I was just like, somebody reminded me that I said it on a show. And I was like, oh, yeah. But this week, this is the complete opposite defense. So last week was the week, in my opinion, that you wanted to play Jahan Dotson. I think a lot of people are going to actually be tempted to chase, because, again, people look at the last week when it's like, it only takes 1 week for it to go back to him getting, you know, one catch for 8 yards. So I wouldn't play Dotson. I'm still starting McLaurin, but he's more of a high-end wide receiver three this week because his touchdown equity, understandably so, in a game where they're projected for 15, 16 points, going to be low.
Fantastic stuff there, Chris. Let's stay in that same game, other team, Brandon Ayuk. This week, Fitz has him at wide receiver 26. ECR is at 27. Actually, just dropped a little bit since this morning to 29. You've got him ranked at 34. Now, Brock Purdy, obviously, in some of these matchups here, it's been a little sketch. I mean, he had the one game with the touchdown where he put up 13 half PPR points. Outside of that, just 10 combined points in the other two games. That's not great. 7 against Miami, 3 against Seattle. So let's talk about this for a second, Freeman. Your expectations for Brandon Ayuk this week, where you have him in your ranks as well, and your thoughts on where Pat has him.
Yeah, I have him around. Yeah, I'm at wide receiver 27. And so I'm closer to Fitz here. I got to say, like, looking at this more, I probably want to bump him down, but he's out there playing almost every snap. He's running all of the routes. There's no Deebo Samuel. This is totally anecdotal, but last week was the massive George Kittle game. So it can't be a George Kittle game this week.
Is that in the contract? Is that how that works?
Like, yeah, it's really good against tight ends too.
So. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it feels like the Ayuk spot. That said, he has only 7 targets over the past 2 weeks, which, you know, makes me incredibly hesitant about him. But with no Deebo, running all the routes, Kittle, like as Raybon said, Kittle is in a tougher matchup. You know, not all of the targets can go to Christian McCaffrey. It just feels like he's going to get more than the 4 targets he had last week and the 3 targets he had the week before that.
All right, Raybon, you're a little lower on Ayuk, so tell us why.
So Jimmy Garoppolo was putting up about 240, 250 passing yards per game when he was healthy for the 49ers. And Brock Purdy's high so far is 217. And so I'm kind of projecting him around, you know, 220-ish. And, you know, the receivers are going to be a function of what the quarterback's doing. And there's just this drop off from Purdy, at least until he shows us more. You know, they have gone a little more run heavy. They are throwing to Christian McCaffrey a little bit more and kind of riding him. So I don't know necessarily if we get back to that, you know, 240, 250 yard output for the 49ers. And that's what's really driving Ayuk's value, because he was always running on the field every snap. Like, whether Deebo was healthy, whoever, Ayuk didn't come out of the game unless, you know, he got banged up. So it's just the lower passing yardage projection for Purdy is knocking Ayuk down, you know, a few yards off what, you know, his projection would have been for most of the season. And that's what's bumping him down to more of a fringe, you know, mid-range wide receiver 3 kind of fringe guy. I just think there are guys with more upside this week than a guy in a game with a total of 38. Like Freeman said it, there are a lot of games like that this week, but that's the whole point. Like, let's bump those like guys down.
Very and let's ugly try to get week
the other guy. Yeah.
A very ugly week for scoring potentially ahead of us. This is going to be like the complete grinded out round 2 of the playoffs that nobody wanted. Let's go to the next guy on the list here that fits as higher than Raybon. You know, Desmond Ridder only threw the ball 26 times, but 11 times he targeted Drake London. Let's talk about that for a second, because Drake London in Fitz's ranking is at RB 30. Raybon, you've got him at 36. ECR's at 31. Friedman, what's your take on London this week? I know, again, against Baltimore, tough defense, tough matchup. also first road matchup for the rookie QB. Do you think things go backward here for Drake London, or maybe we see a little surprising advance?
Yeah, Raybon isn't just a smart guy. He's also great looking, but most importantly, he's smart. And I'm totally with him on this. It's wide receiver 36 for me. Like I'm right where Raybon has Drake London ranked. I want no part of him. Like in theory, where I have him, he's on that wide receiver 3 flex borderline, but like, I don't want to start him at all. It's not going to be good weather. Desmond Ridder was, I mean, he looked horrible last week, and that was with him having a bye week to prepare. Now, it was just his first NFL start, so maybe he's better in this upcoming game. But I'm pretty skeptical of it. You know, the Ravens, they have a pretty tough defense. It feels like going against a rookie quarterback in his second start, that is the kind of opportunity where the Ravens defense just like buckles down and goes off. And we know that, you know, like you were talking about Tyler Algier earlier, we know that the Falcons want to run the ball. And so with that, even if we see 40% of the targets going to Drake London, that might not end up being all that many targets, and they might not be high quality targets because of the guy who's throwing them. So I'm very much off of Drake London this week, and I want not to start him in any league that I'm in.
All right, Raybon, just to warn you, whenever he butters you up like that and tells you you're good looking, something's coming later. Be on the defensive.
Take me down, man.
It's coming. Don't worry.
Was coming, but I think, you know, a lot of times we talk about a guy who bust the previous week, and oh my God, we're scared of using him now. We're fed up with him. We're done. We need to do the opposite. We need to be a week ahead of guys that were good last week, but have a potential to bust. And I think London is one of those guys. Now, he's my wide receiver 36. So yeah, if you're in a 12-team league and you start 3 wide receivers, I'm starting him if I happen to have him. But you know, Desmond Ridder threw for under 100 yards. You're not going to project whatever 11 divided into 26 is for his target share. And I have his target share projected about 27%. So that's right around his real target share this year, targets per route. And there's just a lot of potential for the Falcons to throw, you know, 20-25 passes, pass for 125 yards. And this game, London may not get every single one of those targets. So his floor is just very, very low. Now, the ceiling, we obviously know what that is. It's double-digit targets. It's, you know, close to 100 yards and a touchdown. We've seen that out of him. But the floor is just low. So that's one of those guys where I know he had a good game last week, but, you know, just like you talk about, like he's just like another Deonte Foreman to me, or another Zach Moss. It's like, I don't know what I'm going to get from this guy. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, to follow up, to echo on what Raybon said, wide range of outcomes for him. And so, like, depending on the type of matchup you are in this week in the fantasy playoffs, that might determine whether or not you start him. Like, if you're looking for someone who has an elevated floor, that is not Drake London.
You know what's funny, though, Freeman? I mean, all around that bubble of wide receiver 3, it's guys like London, Slayton, Davis, Hollywood Brown, Thielen. I mean, I'm looking for that guy who's just the boring 5 for, you know, 55 and a touchdown guy. Like, that guy doesn't seem to be out there. Chris Moore. Or even the
Tyler Boyd, is that you?
Tyler Boyd is
he used to be Jacoby Myers until he
Tyler Boyd's ranked at 44 this week in the ECU. It's slim pickings right now because of the weather, because of the quarterback situation. And this is what happens. I think the bigger impact of when you have the bottom third of the league having so many quarterback issues right now.
Yeah.
This is what happens in fantasy. The fringe wide receiver 3s that we used to look at. Oh yeah, it's just like a possession guy. These guys aren't there. They're gone. So it's a lot of just taking shots in the dark. Let's take a shot at Raybon's guys that he likes more than Fitz. Before we do, quick shout out, fantasypros.com/contest. Don't forget that Christian Watson jersey just days away from being given away. Could be yours from pristineauction.com. All you got to do is go leave a nice, beautiful review of the podcast wherever you get your pods. Go to Apple Podcasts. Do it. And then go to fantasypros.com/contest, and you can win that Christian Watson jersey. And don't forget, if you follow us on the Twitter machine, on the Instagram, and on the TikTok, where Andrew Erickson is famous, you get 4 more entries. So go to fantasypros.com/contest, leave a review of the pod, and go win yourself a jersey. All right, Raybon, you are up. Let's talk about your guys. DJ Moore, this is one of my guys, too. I can't wait to hear you defend this, because I am all in. I want to run it back so bad in all my DFS lineups with the DJ Moore this week. You have him at 23. Fitz has him at 25. Not a huge difference. ECR 29, lagging behind. Let's go, Ray Bond. The floor is yours. Take us through DJ Moore in week 16.
So DJ Moore, when you compare him to a lot of these other guys who are behind him, his case looks a lot better because, number one, he, just like a lot of these other guys, he runs a route every snap, 100% of the snaps last few weeks. But Detroit plays a lot of man coverage, and DJ Moore is averaging over 2 yards per route against man coverage, best on the team among the relevant pass catchers. So he actually gets a bump from the matchup. And, you know, we saw him perform in a tough matchup. Now, twice we saw him, and it was sandwiched in between a goose egg, but, you know, he had 103 yards and a touch against Denver and 73 yards and a touch against Pittsburgh. So, you know, looking at this matchup, Carolina is actually, they're not at the bottom of the barrel in terms of implied total this week against this Detroit defense, which, yes, they have gotten better, but not as much of a weather concern. And you always got to look at with these receivers, you know, who are they competing against for targets? DJ Moore is competing against Terrace Marshall, Shai Smith, the running backs who aren't going to really get anything going, and Tommy Tremble. And Ian Thomas.
I will not have Tommy Tremble slander on the show. I will not have it, Raybon.
Stephen Sullivan and Giovanni Ricci. He's literally competing with nobody, with Jags for targets. So when you just look at his upside, and again, he still has a low floor. Like I just said, he had a goose egg in between these two good games. But when you look at his upside and the guys he's competing with targets against, it actually does give him a little bit of a higher floor, even though he had the goose egg, just because he really has no target competition. Detroit tends to put up, you know, make you chase points a little bit. You know, Detroit's a pretty good offense. So, yeah, I think the game script could work out for him. So, yeah, love his matchup this week against this man coverage Detroit team.
All right, Freeman, you're joining the DJ Moore Love Fest with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I need to bump him up in my rankings to bring him more in line with like my perception of him. But absolutely, I'm with Raybon on this. Even with the zero reception performance he had in week 14, which is absolutely horrible. 182 yards and two touchdowns over the past three games. He's also gotten a couple of carries. In his 12 games with Sam Darnold last year, he had 9.8 targets per game. That's a really healthy number. He leads all wide receivers in the league with a 96% snap rate. And as Raybon said, whenever they are dropping back, he's running routes on 100% of those plays. And the Lions are number two in most fantasy points allowed to opposing wide receivers. This is, I mean, it's not like a total smash spot, but it's a pretty good setup for him. And DJ Moore, in terms of talent level, I think is a top 10 wide receiver in the league. So absolutely, I love this spot for him. Wide range of outcomes. He like you could see another zero reception game for him, but there aren't many guys who have the overall capability that Moore has, and this is a great matchup.
My bold prediction of the week, DJ Moore, top 10 wide receiver. He was wide receiver 9 week 12, wide receiver 13 last week. He's right around there. It's very possible the Lions are ready to give it to him. All right, another guy.
Wait. We can't give bold predictions of top 10. That's still a you. You got to go top 5.
You want me to go top 5? That's a tough sell. I want to be right. Well, look, hey.
That's one tier up.
ECR is at 25. ECR is at 25. Raybon. My dude, I'm giving you 15 spots higher. That's not bold enough for you? 15 spots higher than the ranking?
To Raybon's point, it is well within the range of outcomes. It's not that bold.
I don't know. I thought going from 25 to top 10 was bold, but I guess it's not bold.
Like,
all right.
Anyone can finish top 10 who like we're talking about in like the top 40. Like that's
London can't finish top 10. I'm not telling you. he's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Not this week. No. All right, let's go to Deontay Johnson. He's not going to finish top 10 either. I can tell you that. Deontay Johnson, spoiler alert. It's been a disappointing season. That being said, Raybon, you got him at 25. ECR's at 30. Pat's at 32. Raybon, take us through your thoughts on Deontay Johnson. Why are you higher than everybody else? What do you know?
I don't know, man. Maybe he's finally going to take this down. I don't know. No, but listen, Deontay Johnson, very talented guy, gets open and, you know, running around every snap, going against the Raiders. The Raiders are one of the worst pass defenses in the league. And Pittsburgh has a very predictable kind of usage pattern. You know, we know who is going to be out there. We know who they're going to target. We know where they're going to give carries to. Like, it's just, we know what's going on with Pittsburgh. So when they play a defense like the Raiders, he's going to bump up a couple of spots in my rankings, you know. And really, you know, touchdowns are always going to be the most volatile stat. And yeah, I factor in how much, you know, end zone usage, like end zone targets, red zone usage, all that stuff to kind of predict touchdowns. And he obviously is lower because he's not scoring any, but remember, those are the most volatile. Those are the least likely to kind of repeat whatever's been going on. So a guy like Diontae Johnson, with the usage he gets and the kind of target share he gets, could easily have a multi-touchdown game one of these days. And the Raiders, again, are one of the worst pass defenses in the league. So if it's going to happen, this is kind of like a DJ Moore situation here. We know the floor is low, although I would argue Johnson's floor is probably higher than Moore's. But
I'm going to argue the floor is lava when it comes to Diontae Johnson.
But the ceiling, you know, I know George Pickens is sexier, but, you know, every week I want to rank Pickens ahead of Johnson, and then, you know, Pickens ends up catching two balls for 40 yards. So at this point, Johnson's going to get the more volume. Pickens is going to be the home run threat, more of like your standard league kind of dart throw. Okay, I'm an underdog in my matchup guy. But Diontae should get, you know, 4 or 5 catches at least. And a lot of upside against a bad defense.
Last year, Diontae Johnson, 17.2 fantasy points per game. This year, 11.1. And a very steady 11.1. Friedman, your thoughts on Diontae Johnson this week?
Yeah, both for fantasy, playoff games, and then also for the Fantasy Pros accuracy contest, I want to be a little bit higher on Diontae Johnson this week. You know, the production, as Raybon said, like, it's underwhelmed. He's had 0 touchdowns this year, which is just absolutely embarrassing considering that he's had 770 yards from scrimmage. But the usage is there, 123 targets plus 7 carries this year. Since the year 2020, so, you know, almost 3 seasons now, he's had 9.7 targets per game. Like, he is the guy that they funnel the ball to within that passing offense. And as Raybon said, great matchup. The Raiders are numbers 29 and 31 in defensive dropback EPA and pass DVOA. It's a good spot for him. If ever there were a game for him to finally score a touchdown, it feels like it would be this one.
Well, it would be a great story. I'm not holding my breath, boys. I'm not holding my breath. Let's go to the last guy on the list here. Raybon, Marquise Hollywood Brown. I can't wait to hear this one. He is a wide receiver 32 for you, ECR 34. Pat's got him at 38. He's not having it at all. Last week, 4 catches for 8 targets. There's 19 yards. Week before, same deal as well. This week could be playing with Trace McSorley as well. So let's talk about Hollywood Brown for a second, because doesn't feel like the story is going to have a Hollywood ending at the end of the day in week 16.
Yeah, so this just comes down to volume. Like, you know, he's running around 95% of the time. You're going up against the Bucs as 6-point underdogs. So, you know, they're going to have to pass. And you mentioned it. He's still got 8 targets. Like, when you get 8 targets, the expectation usually isn't 19 yards. Right. So,
it is if Trace McSorley's playing quarterback. I just want to throw that out there.
I mean, Trace McSorley is like 2 Desmond Ridders in terms of passing. So take that to your Drake London grave. But that's really what it comes down to. Like, yeah, I have McSorley projected for under 200 yards, but a large percentage of those yards are going to go to DeAndre Hopkins, and Hollywood Brown is next up on that list. So, and I'm actually high on James Conner this week. I know we're not talking about running backs, but, you know, like, somebody has to get this usage. They're going to play a football game. You know, it's Brooks aren't the Denver Broncos either. The Denver Broncos are the best defense in the league, but I know that's like a ringing endorsement. They're going to play a football game, and he's going to be in it. And so he's going to catch footballs and score fantasy points. That's really
why you come to Fantasy Pros, everybody, for analysis like that. That's what you do.
Yeah. He's just on
number
that
6 ranker, Chris Raybon. That's the thought process for everybody.
He's on that cusp. No, it's like, but listen, you know, I don't want people to go and say like, oh man, like, I got a bench. Like, at the end of the day, a guy running a route on 95% of the dropbacks and being the number two target in his passing offense is still, you know, more valuable than, you know, some of the, like, for example, I know a lot of people are going to say, okay, like, Jahan Dotson had a big week last week. Let me start him over a lot of the guys we're talking about. But I talked about Dotson. Like, I have Dotson, I think, 62, because, you know, that's just what his usage is going to kind of dictate. You know, we have to kind of recognize these outliers, and they're outliers that go both ways. Like, 8 targets for 19 yards is an outlier in terms of usually a wide receiver is going to get, you know, 6, 7, 8 yards per target at least. So, yeah, that's why I am where I am with Hollywood.
Well, that was a lot to take in. My dad always said the longer somebody talks about something, the less they probably believe in it. Friedman, what are your thoughts here about Hollywood Brown? Raybon put it down there as, look, bare bones. He's out there on the field running routes. He's giving you opportunity. Do you see it the same way?
Yeah, Raybon's not wrong in everything that he said there, but I'm really down on Marquise Goodwin. Marquise Brown. I said Goodwin. I was wrong.
On him coming up next. Spoiler alert. That's a tease.
On Brown, I'm not nearly as enthusiastic as Raybon is. And like to his point, yeah, since he returned from injury, he's had, I think, 8 targets in every game. He's been out there running routes, but he's not being targeted deep. He's not being targeted in the end zone. And now he's playing with a third string quarterback. Like, I'm just pretty skeptical. Like, I can see the case for starting him. And he's one of those home run swings. You know, like if you are an underdog in your matchup, I can see the case for starting Brown because he does have the capability of turning any target into a long touchdown. But like the floor is, I think, really low with him. And we've seen that the past few weeks.
Okay, fair enough. Let's get to the throwdown where I throw out a guy who I am higher on than ECR. And usually Pat tells me I'm wrong, but this time Friedman gets to take a shot at me. It is another Marquise, the one that you accidentally spoke of too soon. It's Marquise Goodwin of the Seattle Seahawks. I've got him at 38, ECR's at 42, 4 spots higher. This is one of the few guys plugging off the waiver wire. I actually like throwing into a lineup this week. Kansas City Chiefs have already given up almost 3,200 yards in the air. I'm in, especially with Lockett out. Your thoughts, Friedman? Am I right or am I wrong to be higher than ECR and Marquise Goodwin?
Yeah, I think that's fair. He's got a lot of upside. As you mentioned, Tyler Lockett is out. And so he's going to be presumably plugged in as the number two wide receiver within that offense. And I think you're basically banking on a touchdown, you know, you're just sort of flipping coins, hoping that happens. Actually, it's not even a coin flip. It's far less than 50-50, but you're hoping it happens. But he's sort of like a Deshaun Jackson-esque type of player where when he scores a touchdown, it's because he breaks a long reception. Right. So like when he scores a touchdown, a whole bunch of yards come along with it. So it's not as if he's scoring a touchdown and you're getting only 8 fantasy points. It's he scores a touchdown and you're getting like 18 fantasy points. So you're basically banking on that and knowing that he's going to be out there for more snaps, more routes, presumably getting more targets as an underdog on the road going against the Chiefs team that is number 6 in most fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. Like, yeah, like he is a reasonable Hail Mary play for this slate.
Okay, I'll take it. That's good enough for me. Listener mailbag time. These are your questions straight from our Discord, fantasybros.com/chat. Free to join, but our premium members get access to AMA stages and a whole lot more.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
This one is from Mosh Dog. I'm toiling over here with a start-sit decision. I need your help. PPR, playoff decision, Miles Sanders at Dallas, Najee versus Vegas, and Jerick McKinnon at Seattle need two. Leaning towards Miles, am I crazy? So Raybon, let's help Mosh Dog set the lineup here. Najee, Sanders, or McKinnon? Who is the odd man out?
Ooh, that's actually a good problem to have. He said it's full PPR, right?
It is full PPR.
Full PPR, I think Miles has to be the odd man out because he's just the least of the PPR backs. Like, you know, Najee has a good matchup, and he's even though he's splitting the passing down work with Jaylen Warren, he just gets targeted at a higher rate when he does run routes, whereas Miles Sanders, and maybe that changes with Minshew, but there's nothing to say, you know, we haven't seen it, so we can't really project it. So, and then, you know, McKinnon, we talked about in a full PPR, he gets a little added bump. So, yeah.
There you have it. I agree. You want to make it 3-for-3, Friedman? Is Sanders the odd man out for you too?
It's tough. I think
Pittsburgh's going to be an emotional night out there right now with everything going on that night. I think Pittsburgh's going to play some inspired football.
In my favorites piece, I have both Harris and McKinnon as guys I'm highlighting. And I think they're right there in that tier with Sanders. I would probably still start Sanders and bench Harris, but I don't know. I for sure am starting McKinnon. He's the one guy out of those three I know I am starting.
There you have it. Go follow Chris Raybon on the Twitter machine at Chris Raybon. Check out his work at Fantasy Labs and Action Network. Chris, thanks so much for joining us here, especially around the holidays. We know you're busy. We appreciate your time and your efforts. And Matthew Friedman stepping in last minute. They say that, you know, heroes don't exist. Thank you so much. And Fitz, hope your internet is working again tomorrow. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Thrive Fantasy. Head over to thrivefantasy.com or download the Thrive app at the App Store or Google Play Store and use that promo code FPROS. That's FPROS when you sign up at Thrive Fantasy to get an instant deposit match up to $250. And don't forget about Air Medcare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Raybon and Friedman, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.